Verse 38 in our scripture says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And who is he? Our Lord. For a little while, I want to talk from the subject, "For I too am persuaded." For I too am persuaded. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings upon this worship service. We thank you, Lord God, you allowed us to come out and to be able to fellowship with the saints. We've come now to the hour of the preach word. Hide me down behind the cross. Speak that which you would have your servants to hear. Use me as your instrument. I submit unto your authority. Have your way, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray that your word does not go out and return void, but that it will bring fruit today. That, Lord God, it will plant seed today. And we pray that on some seeds that it be watered today. So have your way in Jesus' name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. When I came in, I heard Minister Judkins talking about saying goodbye to 2018. Wave goodbye to 2018. And it's funny, my opening remarks started out with 2018 has been a tumultuous year. Am I right about it? It's okay to say amen if you too. One in which we have witnessed overpowering, destructive, natural disasters. Hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, snow and ice storms, the melting of the polar ice caps, and the rise of the world's oceans. We have also witnessed a huge rise in blatant and evil outward expressions of racism, cloaked in the patriotic garment of isolationist nationalism and spoken in the coded word cry of America First. I need to tell you something. Back in the late 30s, when America did not want to enter into World War II, despite what Hitler was doing in Germany and France and England, that there were those, including Charles Lindbergh, President Kennedy's father, and the Kennedy family, and many others who said, that's Europe's war. They knew what the Nazis were doing, and they knew how dangerous they were, but we're not prepared to get into a fighting war for Europe's sake. We have to look after America first. Exactly what they said. There were even in those times in Madison Square Garden, there was 20,000 Nazis had a rally in Madison Square Garden in the 1930s. America first was what they yelled. America first. So this is not the first time, not the first rodeo for America first. And the last time, the Nazis almost took over. This time, they're still around. They may not be calling themselves German Nazis, but they're from the American Nazi Party. Hatred is on a rise across all races. Hatred. Hatred. I am persuaded that love always outlasts and overcomes hate. the proponents of America First and other positions say they want things to change. They want the government to change to favor them. They want our immigration policies to change to protect them. They want our financial institutions to change to enrich them. But they do not want their communities, schools, churches, way of life, nor their privilege to change. They want change. They just do not want to be changed. I submit to you, to think this way is evidence they cannot believe God is able to provide for and protect them from their believed enemy. Yet they quote scripture to justify their beliefs, citing, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Yet my Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You see, life's elevator operates on the attitude of its occupants. It can either take you high or low as you desire to go. The Apostle Paul is an example of a hater of Christians who was changed by God into a crusader for Christians. Let me say that again. The Apostle Paul was a hater of Christians who was changed by God into a crusader for Christians. In our text, Paul asked the question, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Yet in verse 37, not only does he dismiss these dangers as being insufficient to accomplish their purpose, he declares we are not just overcomers, but we are, in fact, more than conquerors. Next, Paul emphatically states, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things here now or present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Now, that's quite a statement coming from Paul, who before his conversion was a Christian-hating bounty hunter who took great pleasure in separating men, women, boys, and girls from their families, their friends, their freedom, by hauling them off to prisons, trials, and even by both watching and participating in their deaths. Quite a statement from Paul, which caused me to wonder, at what point did Paul come to realize that although he could remove them from their families, remove them from their friends, remove them from their freedom, and death could remove them from their earthly life, but that neither he nor death could separate them from their faith in, nor their faithfulness to, the Lord Jesus Christ. For they remained persuaded, even in the face of death. Notice what Paul did not say. He did not say, "My mama is persuaded." He did not say, "The preacher is persuaded." He did not say, "The choir members are persuaded." Nor the deacons are persuaded. He didn't even say the church members are persuaded. No, he made the personal and confessional statement, for I am persuaded. William R. Newell wrote, and I quote, persuaded is a heart word. There is a difference between knowing a truth and being heart persuaded of it, end quote. You see, many of us know the truth and are convicted by the truth, but are not heart persuaded to submit to the truth that God is able to deliver us from all harm and into his saving and sustaining grace. If you are heart persuaded, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am persuaded God is able to protect and deliver me. I came to remind you, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The psalmist wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I must ask this morning, in the midst of your storms, do you praise God or do you praise pity? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am persuaded that God is worthy of all of my praise. By this time in his ministry, Paul had been through much. He had been tested mightily. In his letter to the church at Corinth, he wrote this of his trials and tribulations, and I'm quoting from the New King James. Paul said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. In other words, I was beat up 5 times, 39 stripes per time. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of freemen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Yet, he said, I am out of all the hardships, out of all the rejections, out of all of the persecutions, imprisonments, beatings, death threats, and griefs he had been through, he still declares, for I am. But Paul, you must have been mercifully beaten many times. Yes, but I am persuaded. But Paul, you've been left for dead, and there's even a contract out on your life right now. Yes, but I'm persuaded. Why, Paul? You see, Sherrod, for to me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. Oh, in view of all the negative things that are taking place, the racism, sexism, poverty, hunger, discrimination, and crime. Do you have a word of wisdom for us here in the 21st century? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He goes on to say, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. And then he closes with, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Church, if you are persuaded, God is able to do what he promised to do, then you should have no problem serving him. For you see, when one is persuaded, they are convinced beyond doubt. Therefore, there is no wavering, no second guessing, no backpedaling, and no flip-flopping. I came to ask this question this morning. Just how persuaded are you? Are you still persuaded when the times get rough and the going gets tough and the wicked seems to be prospering on every hand? Are you still persuaded when you see things you think are wrong and yet it is allowed to continue? Are you still persuaded when you've done your best and your best just does not seem sufficient? Are you still persuaded when it appears you have more month than money, more confusion than comfort, more pain than peace, more health issues than help, more trials than triumphs, more lost than love, and more sadness than satisfaction? In your darkest hours, do you still declare that the Lord is my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I came to tell you that, like Paul, I too am persuaded. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I draw strength, comfort, and encouragement in knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. And more importantly, he's God the Son. I draw strength, comfort, and encouragement knowing that he was born in a sleepy town called Bethlehem of a woman called the Virgin Mary. I draw strength, comfort, and encouragement knowing that he lived a sinless life, that he may qualify as the Lamb of God. I draw strength, comfort, and courage knowing that he died to pay man's ransom for sin. I draw strength. I draw comfort I draw encouragement knowing that he rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and a grave. I draw strength knowing that he sits on the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercessions for the saints. I am persuaded that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am more than a conqueror. I am persuaded, knowing that soon and very soon, he's coming back just for me. Church, I'm 76 years old, and I may always feel pain in my body, but I am persuaded of the truth that by his stripes, I am healed. I'm just waiting on the manifestation of it. I may not be loved by the world, but I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I may be tested through trials and tribulations, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Do I have a witness? I may not live in the best house in Springfield, but I am persuaded that I have a home over in glory. I have a home and it's mine. I have a home, got my name on it. I got a home and it's paid for. On a hill called Calvary, my home was paid for, bought. I don't have the deed, but my salvation has the deed to my home. I am persuaded. How about you? I am persuaded that one day I will see his face just as he is. I'm gonna take my seat. But I just want to leave you with this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gate open wide. He will wash away my sins and let this little child come in. Yes.